What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And Darius Slayton, holding out, didn't show up to the first day of voluntary workouts. What does that mean for the New York Giants receiver corps? What does it mean for their draft plans? What does it mean for Darius Slayton? That's what we're going to go ahead and unpack in this episode. Slayton has been one of the Giants' most productive and consistent players over the last 5 years, has put up 700 or more yards in four of the last five seasons, has been the Giants' leading receiver in four of the last five seasons. You got to give credit where it's due and say Slayton probably has been an underpaid player for the majority of his career as a former fifth-round draft pick, signed that two-year extension worth $6 million per season a couple years ago, but we know he took a lot less money to stay with the Giants. Now maybe he's regretting that decision, is holding out for more money, hoping for a long-term extension, and before I give too much away my opinion, he deserves it. The Giants should give it to him. But that's what we're going to go ahead and discuss in today's episode. But before we do so, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what are your thoughts on Darius Slayton holding out?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. And yeah, that was a surprising one. I didn't really see Darius Slayton, kind of holding out a voluntary camp and saying, you know, I want a new contract, but I get it. You know, you watch Gabe Davis get $13 million a year. You watch some of these bigger guys, or even, you know, similar quality talents get their bag. I mean, Gabe Davis is making more than double Darius Slayton is. And you could make a strong argument that Darius Slayton is better than Gabe Davis. I think that in terms of his route tree, you know, what he can do, I think that he may be more valuable than him. So when you look at Slayton's, you know, body of work, the fact that he's been healthy, the fact he's been our most productive receiver, I get why he's asking for it. I just think it was kind of bad timing, but it was the only timing for him, because if the Giants draft a receiver with the sixth overall pick, he loses a lot of leverage in that situation. So based on what he's doing, based on the fact he was waiting for the voluntary workouts, he forfeited $350K. If he showed up, he would have got paid $350K bonus. He forfeited it to force the Giants' hand. So what does this really mean for Darius Slayton? Well, the Giants, I mean, Joe Shane just said today, we're going to talk about something he said as well, some stuff from that presser, that he loves Darius. And I think the Giants would like to keep him. But if they get a WR1, they can afford to spend a little bit of money at receiver because they don't have any money invested at all aside from their draft picks. Wandale Robinson, you know, obviously the primary guy there. Like, if you get a Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison or Romo Dunze, the cost is low, obviously, for the duration of that 4 years until the fifth-year option hits. And then, you know, you extend Slayton at $13, $14 million per year. That's a bargain, you know, at least for a WR2. As the cap increases, things get more expensive at the wide receiver position. That may look like a cheap contract in 2 or 3 years, right? So, in fact, it definitely will. But with that being said, do you necessarily need Darius? If you go get Nabers, do you need Darius Slayton, right? Because you have Jalin Hyatt as your deep threat. You still want him to produce. You want it to become more of a focal point. You could argue, and I think that this is what Darius Slayton's agents are thinking, if the Giants walk away with a WR1 in the first round, you have Jalin Hyatt, Wandale, and then you have you have your WR1, who you just drafted, as your three primary guys. Slayton, $13 million, you don't necessarily need him because Hyatt is supposed to take that big role as the deep threat. Nabers, you know, he can do that stuff. Odunze can do that stuff. Marvin Harrison Jr. can do that. He can do Darius Slayton's role plus a lot more. So I don't necessarily think the Giants are going to be the first ones to bite and give him that contract. In fact, I think there's more of a probability that the Giants go and get a receiver that they may end up trading Darius Slayton than giving him an extension. Maybe that's a hot take, but if the Giants do walk away with a quarterback, I think we'll see more of a likelihood that they do end up paying Darius Slayton or trading him in a deal that may include getting Brandon Ayuk or something like that. So, you know, right now, I actually don't think this is a good scenario for the Giants in terms of Slayton's the pressure he's putting. He's playing his leverage card. This is the only card he has. He's playing it the only time he could at voluntary camp, and he's trying to force the Giants' hand. I think there's actually more of a probability that the Giants trade Darius Slayton than extend him right now based on before draft. After draft, that probably will change depending on what they do. But at this point, I just don't know if I want to pay. Not to say that I don't think he's earned it, because I do think he's earned it. I just don't think the Giants necessarily need to pay him if they go after a WR1 at six overall. That's kind of my take at this point in time.
Yes and no. There's certain points you made that I do agree with, some I disagree with. Here's the thing, though, for Darius Slayton, and you mentioned that Maybe he's going to bring certain things to the negotiating table, like look at the roster construction with and without me. If the Giants do draft a quarterback and they add in somebody who they feel is going to throw for a bunch of yardage and help bolster their stats and score more touchdowns, Darius Slayton is going to look to that and say, my value just increased because the quarterback position just got better. Therefore, I'm going to touch the ball more. I'm going to score more touchdowns. And my value has not truly been reflected because of bad quarterback play holding me back. I said this a few episodes ago, Alex. Remember we were talking about potential players who could break out? And I said, hey, I know we're talking about Wandale Hyatt. I want to talk about Slayton. Slayton is an underrated player on this team and an underpaid player on this team. A few days later, he starts holding out. My bad, guys. Maybe Darius Slayton heard the podcast and I triggered the holdout. Probably not, but I guess it's possible because he tore it up down that final stretch of the season, scoring touchdowns, big plays. Tyrod Taylor and him had a nice connection. And finally, we saw the Slayton that we could see maybe weeks 1 through 17 rather than weeks 10 through 17 if the Giants have the right quarterback under center. So I think that's a lot of negotiating power that Slayton has to bring to the table if the Giants draft a quarterback. However, if the Giants draft the quarterback, they now have a negotiating piece in those trades to move up in the order without sacrificing as much draft capital. And that piece is Darius Slayton now. With Slayton disgruntled, wanting an extension, the Giants, it's going to be tough for them to give him a pay raise. They don't have a whole lot of cap space. In order to give him that pay raise, you're talking about restructuring Andrew Thomas, maybe Dexter Lawrence a second time, maybe cutting Darren Waller. So you have to factor that into the equation as well. The Giants are very limited in their funding. So maybe instead of giving Slayton the extension, they find that, hey, the Arizona Cardinals rate him very highly. They really like Darius Slayton. Or maybe the New England Patriots really like Darius Slayton. Both of those teams are willing to give him extensions at the price point that he desires. And then the Giants, instead of giving up the number 47 overall pick in the second round, maybe they give up the number 70 pick in the third round plus Darius Slayton, move up two spots, land their quarterback, keep that number 47 pick. That's your Darius Slayton replacement. Draft the best wide receiver available in round two. That is a possibility now that I think is on the table because of Darius Slayton's disgruntlement. Now, what do I think is going to happen? Alex, you said that you think it's more likely he gets traded than extended. I think he's going to get extended. I think that Darius Slayton is very important to this team. He's a real professional. He's done great things with this team for the last 5 years, and he's always conducted himself in the highest manner possible. The Giants, I believe, are going to reward him. I think they do appreciate the fact that they got him on a discounted deal for the past season. Now they're going to go ahead and give him the money that he ultimately does deserve. He is underpaid and underappreciated. I like the Gabe Davis comparison that you made, Alex, because looking at those two guys statistically and then looking at their gap in wage, it shouldn't be that fast. It should be a lot more similar. Darius Slayton making $6 million per season, criminal. He deserves to be making at least $10 million per year, in my opinion. And in fact, I think $12 million per season is a realistic landing point for Darius Slayton on a new deal. The question now is just who's giving him that deal. I believe it'll be the Giants, but they absolutely do have an opportunity here to trade him in an effort to go ahead, get their quarterback, move on from Slayton, find his replacement in the draft. That's an absolute possibility now that really didn't exist prior to this disgruntlement and holdout from Darius Slayton. So I think that's something to ponder, Alex. How would you feel about that? What if the New York Giants were to trade up to the three spots in the draft order, land their quarterback, and package Darius Slayton in that deal? And that might be the key to them keeping the number 47 overall pick and not sacrificing too much in draft capital. Do you think that that's something that they should consider? Or do you maybe not want to trade Slayton in a package for a quarterback because then you're bringing him into a team without his number one receiving option?
I mean, look, going and getting a quarterback is most imperative, but using Darius Slayton as this trade piece, long-term, it doesn't really matter because 2024, he's either going to force the Giants' hand to trade him, or in 2025, they're going to let him walk in free agency because they're not going to want to pay him $16 million a season. You know what I mean? Like, At most, Joe Shane just said this, they haven't even spoken to him about a contract extension. In fact, he said, we're not even thinking about a contract extension. So, and that's basically what I tweeted yesterday. Like, they shouldn't be thinking about anything Darius Slayton until after the draft. Because you just don't know who you're going to walk away with. You know what I mean? Like, Jalin Hyatt was supposed to be Darius Slayton's long-term replacement. That's how I always viewed him. You know, I thought Slayton's deep ball qualities, you know, the way they've used Slayton in the past, Hyatt's supposed to be that cheaper third-round alternative. You got 3 years of affordability there at a much cheaper price point, and they're still developing him. So, you know, I just don't see a world where the Giants dish out $16 million in 2025 because the cap has gone up and wide receiver contracts are going nuts again. I just don't see a world where you give Jarius Slayton $16 million. So, if anything, I think the Giants, like you're saying, they could leverage him in a trade, whether it be for, you know, a quarterback giving another team an option, a WR2, who they can then extend because they have the financial freedom or they see him as a key piece. Obviously, the team has to like Darius Slayton. I just don't know, you know, who would want him with his because they're going to have to acquire him, just like the Giants got Brian Burns. They're going to have to acquire him and extend him immediately, right? Like, that's the only reason you're going to go get Darius Slayton, because otherwise you're just going to hold out again and be like, yeah, I still want a contract. Like, that hasn't been solved. So the Giants have to trade him to a team that wants to extend him. And personally, I think that the Cardinals could be a team that might want to extend him. They could end up drafting a WR1. Sorry, it's kind of funny. A WR1, and they could walk away with Darius Slayton on a new extension, so they can keep the cost down at WR1 and have their bona fide WR2. That makes a lot of sense to me. I imagine you think that probably does too.
I do, and I think the same logic applies to the New England Patriots. The Patriots need help all over that team. They not only need a WR1, they need a WR2. Moving down with the Giants at number 6, they'll still be in range to land their WR1 in a Malik Nabers, maybe Marvin Harrison, maybe it's Romo Dunze. They'll get whichever wide receiver is best available on the board at number 6, plus Darius Slayton. Now you got your 1-2 threat in the receiving game if you're the New England Patriots. Meanwhile, the New York Giants get Drake May, possibly. Nice quarterback option to go ahead and build this team for the future. That's a total possibility. But there is the other aspect of this equation where, again, maybe with the right quarterback, Alex, Darius Slayton would be a 1,000-yard receiver. That's what I said a few episodes ago. The way he played from weeks 10 to 17 versus 1 through 10, when he had a quarterback that was throwing him the ball consistently and putting it in the right spot, he looked like he could be a 1,000-yard receiver. And I've said this for the past, I don't know, 3 years now, Alex, that Darius Slayton has that potential and he's just underutilized and underappreciated. The guy could be a 1,000-yard receiver. I truly do believe that. And then you're talking about him, yes, being worth the $12 to $16 million that he will command in an offseason from now. So I do believe that the Giants might look at this and say, with the right quarterback, Darius Slayton is our WR1. We don't even need to force our hand and draft a playmaker that early. We still have Hyatt, who's developing and could be a great upside number 2. We still have Wandale, who's an excellent slot receiver. And we have Darius Slayton, who, in the right system, with the right QB, if we can give him those pieces, could be a 1,000-yard receiver and a WR1. I do think there's a world that exists where the Giants do have that thought process. However, it is true. Maybe it's far more likely that they say, hey, we're going to go ahead and take the best playmaker available at number 6. There you go. Malik Nabers is a New York Giant. As a result, number 47 overall pick, plus Darius Slayton, trade up to the back end of the first round. Michael Penix Jr. is your quarterback. How about that thought process? That could be an interesting scenario as well. It's really just kind of fun to walk through these exercises and highlight. Darius Slayton holding out opens up a wide cornucopia of possibilities for the New York Giants in this upcoming draft. It could affect how they decide to go about wide receiver. It could affect the way that they make trades. These teams that are reportedly calling the New York Giants to trade up, maybe they're calling and saying, hey, we'll give you this, that, and this for Slayton and the number 6 pick. Maybe these teams in front of them are like, you know what, if you want to move up, we need a player, throw in Darius Slayton. All of that is totally possible. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this shapes out with Darius Slayton. Ultimately, I think he's going to get his contract from the Giants. But again, you do have to keep an eye on the potentials of him being traded at the upcoming NFL draft. And speaking of which, Alex, Joe Shane is speaking today. Actually, he just wrapped up his press conference as we're recording this. Some of the quotes were still trickling in over the past 14 minutes that we have been recording. Joe Shane saying, comfortable with the quarterback position. Maybe looking at trading up. He's had potential calls, it sounded like. Definitely has fielded a bunch of calls on trading down. Alex, what are some of your top takeaways from this Joe Shane press conference? Which quotes really stood out to you the most?
Well, you know, there's the usual Joe Shane fluff, and it's like, well, Daniel Jones is our expected starter. We're not looking for a quarterback in the draft. We could use a receiver. You know, Tommy DeVito's come a long way. It's the usual BS, you know, like, the Giants have been, the best way to say it, orchestrating the narrative, right? They have been conducting the narrative over the last couple of weeks and months here. We have heard nothing in terms of where they are. They haven't even set their draft board. They said tomorrow they're going to have their draft board most likely in place. They're going to let it rest for the weekend. I haven't seen anything that suggests Joe Shane or the Giants have said anything regarding what they think to be true. They said they're going to let the draft come to them, let the board. They've gotten a lot of surprising amount of calls to move back in the draft, which I don't think the Giants are going to make the same mistake twice, passing on Parsons and passing on Devonta Smith. You stay at 6 and you get the blue chipper. You don't do some dumb stuff unless the Vikings are going to give you 11-23 and a 2025 first rounder. In that case, yeah, I'll move back and get a tremendous amount of value and, you know, retool for the future. That's fine. But I still think the Giants' best interest is to get a quarterback. And I know he keeps saying, we're not looking for a quarterback. We have faith in Daniel Jones. You know, Drew Lock has a lot of experience. But guys, I mean, Joe Shane's not dumb. And neither are we. The Giants are not winning a Super Bowl with Drew Lock at quarterback. The Giants are not winning a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones at quarterback. The Giants are not winning a Super Bowl with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. And Joe Shane knows that, right? If he doesn't know that, I hope he's fired as soon as possible. Because it is the most obvious logic you can come to. Even if you give Daniel Jones the best offensive line in the game, the best wide receiver core in the game, I still don't think he's good enough to beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So, you know, and that's not even true. The Giants have one of the worst offensive lines in the game and one of the worst receiver cores in the game. So there's no shot in hell he's, with his contract, that he's winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. So, you know, anything that Joe Shane has said to us, I don't believe it for a split second. Because how are you going to say, well, we don't necessarily need a quarterback, and then the same breath say we don't even have our draft board done yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's just contradicting. Everything he says is contradicting. Everything he says is completely just a way for us to drive a narrative, push a story, you know, say this. Oh, Joe Shane's been saying that Daniel Jones, the expected starter for months. Are you guys really going to believe that? Really going to believe the GM who's trying to hide his play, hide his hand right before the draft? Yeah, like, that makes so much. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll get your take on this, Anthony. The fact that teams have been calling the Giants to move up to 6, there's only two reasons you would want to move up to 6 if you're an opposing team. The first one is you want one of those top 3 receivers. The second one is you believe one of those quarterbacks is going to drop to the 6th overall pick. And that's the most interesting one to me. If teams like the Vikings or the Denver Broncos or the Raiders or whoever is looking for a quarterback are calling the Giants and seeing what it would take to move up to 6, that means they have an idea of who could be there. So the Giants may be able to wait and get a quarterback at 6. Maybe we don't have to move up at all. You know, it's possible. Now, I do think another team would probably go up to 4 to probably leapfrog, but then Arizona gets, they lose out on the chance to get one of the top blue chip receivers, and they need one, right? The Arizona Cardinals are in a position right now where they have to add a receiver for Kyler Murray. They have to. If they move back to 11, they lose out on Odunze, they lose out on Marvin Harrison Jr., and they lose out on Malik Nabers. They have no incentive to move there. So Arizona might be saying, like, we can't do it. We just can't do it. Like, we don't have the talent. We need to give Murray a WR1, and we're going to pass on blue chip prospects to get future draft capital. We're trying to win now. You know, Murray's contract is in the middle of its life. They have to win now. They have to try to compete. They need that superstar piece. So maybe Arizona's not as willing to move back as some people think, which is why the Giants are getting a lot of calls on the 6th overall pick for a potential player. Where do you perceive this in terms of, do you think teams are looking for receivers? Or do you think that teams think that there's a possibility one of those top 4 QBs is sitting there at 6 where the Giants currently select?
I mean, dude, fact check it. I've been saying this for weeks that there is a strong chance that one of these quarterbacks falls on the number 6 overall pick. I keep repeating this point. Every year throughout the pre-draft process, we talk about how quarterbacks are going to fly off the board 1, 2, 3, 4, and it never really happens. I'm not going to say never because sometimes it does happen, and there's a good chance that it happens this year. But really, oftentimes, when we get to this point in the draft process, we talk about these quarterbacks flying off the board to start the draft, one or two of them always ends up falling, it feels like, majority of the time at least. That could absolutely happen. Drake May could be the guy that falls into the Giants' lap at 6. Maybe it's J.J. McCarthy who falls to 6 after months of everybody or weeks of everybody saying you got to trade up to 4 to get him. It's totally possible that a quarterback goes at 6 because what incentive do the Cardinals have to move all the way down in the draft order and lose out on Marvin Harrison Jr.? What incentive do the Patriots have to take these quarterbacks over Marvin Harrison Jr. potentially if that's the way they want to go? And also the same thing goes for the Los Angeles Chargers. Very strong possibility of a quarterback landing into the Giants' lap at 6. But all those teams calling to get up to the New York Giants, you are right. It is for one of two positions probably. Quarterbacks that could potentially fall, and of course, wide receivers. Some of these teams, they want a playmaker. They know there's going to be a strong playmaker on the board with the number 6 overall pick, trading up with the Giants if the Giants are open to trading down. Does make a lot of sense for those teams behind them in the draft order. Here's actually one that I think could have been Here's one of the teams that I think could have been making that call. The Jacksonville Jaguars reportedly very interested in moving up and drafting Romo Dunze to pair with Trevor Lawrence. Maybe the Jaguars are calling. I think they're picking like 18 to 20, somewhere in that range. Maybe they're trying to get up into the top 10 to get a Dunze. I know that there are teams that are really eager to move up and land a playmaker. I just agree with you, though, Alex. I don't think that the Giants should trade down. I don't think that they will trade down. I think that they are far more of a trade-up candidate as a team here looking for potentially a quarterback. Or you know what? Let's even play devil's advocate on it. Maybe the Giants are dead set on the quarterback room that they have with DeVito, Locke, and Jones. Maybe they're going to trade up two spots to go ahead and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. That's also a possibility. So you got to see how it all shapes out, how the board falls on draft night. But yeah, there are a lot of different scenarios that could play out. And I do find that quote interesting from Joe Shane about a lot of teams calling up. We've definitely heard a lot of rumors. If you consume a lot of draft media, many of these teams are looking to move up. Like you said, the Broncos, the Raiders. There's other teams even further down the order. I believe even the Pittsburgh Steelers have been linked to potential trade-up rumors, trying to move up and get Russell Wilson a playmaker after trading away Deontay Johnson. So this is going to be an exciting night. We are 1 week away. I can't freaking wait. Just ready for the chaos to unfold, ready to see how the board falls, ready to see who the New York Giants land and whether or not they move up or down. But hey, man, over in New England, their general manager, Elliott Wolf, he said they are open for business. And I know that we've heard that before, and we've heard the New England Patriots say certain things that insinuated that, but I do believe this is the first time that he's definitively said in a press conference that they are open for business. Usually it's been, we'll listen to any offers, we'll take the phone calls, we'll do our due diligence. Today he said they are open for business, and I think that is also worth noting because it's coming out at the same time that we're hearing Giants have reportedly inquired about moving up to the third overall pick. Then all of a sudden we hear the third overall pick is open for business. I'm just reading through the lines here. Maybe that's a connection, but hey, maybe Joe Shane is telling the truth. Maybe he really does feel comfortable going into the NFL season with Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Tommy DeVito. It's totally possible. I would think that would be a mistake. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. Joe Shane probably knows better than I do, but because he knows better than I do, I believe that he will go ahead and move up for the quarterback. But we'll see what happens. It's going to be really interesting, of course. 1 week from today, the NFL draft. We'll be live on the channel doing our live stream, reacting to the picks as they come in for the entire first round. It's going to be a long stream. It's going to be a fun stream, and we're really excited to see you all there and also to celebrate 20K subscribers with you this weekend in our 20K subscriber special episode. Stay tuned to that as well, and stay tuned to all New York Giants and NFL draft news, rumors, and speculation right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants. Perfect.